numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, and ladies and gentlemen, the return of Kelly Bidlin in the house. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing just fine, Gil. Just fine.
You're very
fine and dandy.
You're very unpredictable because we thought you'd be here Monday. Well, we didn't Monday, I don't think. Then we didn't think you'd be here. We did think you'd be here Tuesday, then Wednesday, then Thursday. And today we're like, he's definitely not coming in. He'll just wait till Monday. And here you are. Would you like to share with everybody your medical status?
I'm doing okay. I appreciate everybody covering for me and stuff. I'm still definitely not 100%, but didn't want to punt on the whole week, man. Had to come in here and talk some fun stuff.
What do you got? Rickets? Okay. Scurvy? What do you got? Scurvy?
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Malaria?
You know, I've been doing some traveling. Yeah, no, I've got a kidney infection right now I'm dealing with, so that's some fun stuff. Okay. And amongst who knows what else? I don't really know. Still waiting on some test results.
There might be some other leaguery
stuff.
Threw
a bunch of antibiotics at me, and we're like, here, have some fun with this.
But you're here.
That's right.
Playing hurt. Appreciate it, man. Good to see you. Glad to have you back. People were worried about you. We're glad to see you. On today's show, Paul Carr will join us. He's got a Premier League pick as the Premier League season just got it underway last week. Going to continue with his picks today. I believe he only has one Premier League pick. He does have, and this again is a special numbers game investigation revealing that the Women's World Cup is concluding this weekend. It's still going on. Did you know that, Kelly? We have a third place game, and then we have the championship.
Earlier in the week when I was helping plan out some guests and stuff for the show, I did have to I had the thought on like Monday where I was like, is this over already? And I just didn't. I missed it. And I was like, oh, no, we still have two more rounds to go. Never mind.
I would like to predict in advance what Paul Carr's third place gameplay will be. Because if I know Paul
Carr... Is Germany involved?
No, Germany is not involved. Because
that would be obvious.
No,
right?
That would have still been... Germany will still win the championship. No, it's... Third place game, I believe historically, is always you always go over in third place games.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which we used to call a consolation game in other sports and Olympics and that kind of thing.
See, you before. Have your Paul Carr Germany moments. I have one of my own now because it was one when you were out on vacation and JVT was filling in and Paul came in here in studio. You randomly missed him by a week for that.
Yeah.
And we were previewing the Women's World Cup, and you went with Germany. I just can't sat back here and started laughing. JVT didn't know why I was laughing. Like, it's Paul Carr,
but
man.
But he's in on the joke, right? He's like, because of course I did.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, he's in on the joke. So Paul Carr will join us. John Legesa joins us for Instant Offense. He's the microwave. He's the Vinnie Johnson of this on Fridays. He'll come in and talk to us about his baseball plays of the days from The Athletic. Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. And Dr. Bob... will be here today. Let me just clarify, though, because I know once I say that, people are like, oh, is this college football season win totals day? Because nothing has been as historically solid and accurate and profitable through the years as when Dr. Bob Stoll, comes on this show and gives his pre-flop college football season win totals. And when I say that, I'm talking like he comes on here and they go 7-0 kind of thing. He's like, well, Gil, if I give you all of them, they would have gone 18-1, like that kind of thing. He's that good at it. This is not what he'll be here for today. He'll do that later this month. And I know the month is drawing to an end. So it will be either next week or the following week. Well, it'll be the next week probably because week zero will be upon us. So it'll be next week where he'll do the conference. Excuse me, not the conference, but the college football season win totals segment. Today, he's going to talk about how the clock not stopping in college football has sort of affected his handicapping. That's obviously a huge change in college football. Not the last 2 minutes of each half, but otherwise, that's the biggest change in college football. And I'm going to ask him, I know how Bob is with this. So I don't mean to predict the guest answers to this. But I'm going to, again, before this last year, they played four preseason games, right? And when they used to play four preseason games in football, he had this, we're not a trend show, but we would always make an exception for Dr. Bob's week two preseason trend. Were teams coming off a loss, we're playing teams that were coming off a win at a week one, and it had this unbelievable ATS record for teams in week two. Now, since it went to 3 weeks, it ain't the same. I've said this many times, because when it was 4 weeks, you could count on starters playing league-wide in week three, and then everybody would rest week four. There was a meter to everything, and coaches who lost in week one generally wanted to get a W in week two. It made intuitive sense. Now, where it's 3 weeks, it's all kind of bacchata. Have you missed me, Kelly, with words like that? It's just not the same meter from team to team. You don't know what team's motivations are from week to week. Can we throw, by the way, the preseason ATS records for coaches if you're into this kind of thing again, even with the ATS loss for John Harbaugh last week, 24-1 in his last 24. Remember, they're 24-0, the Ravens are, in their last straight up 24 preseason games under John Harbaugh. They will take on the Commanders on Monday. Little beltway brawl. But Harbaugh still has the best ATS record in all preseason, 38-17-1. Sean McDermott, 13-5-1. Pete Carroll with another ATS win last week, 27-19-1. Frank Reich, 8-5-2. We have some of the worst ones, too. We have to add Kevin O'Connell's 0-4 lifetime ATS preseason. So we kind of threw him in. Maybe he's the anti-Harbaugh. We don't have enough of a big enough sample size to determine. But I'm going to ask Bob, hey, did you happen, even though you decided not, you know, even though we decided this is not a trend from week one to week two, by the way, you see Andy Reid historically 33-38-1 ATS preseason.
He sucks.
he sucks.
Fire him.
Glad to have you back, Kelly. That's the kind of insight and analysis we're looking for. But I'm going to ask him, I said, with the 3 week arc now, do you care? Did you even check what it did last year? I'm going to guess he said, no, I didn't even check. Maybe I'll check on one of the breaks here. I just want to say this about the preseason game last night, because I mentioned on the show yesterday that your instinct ought to be to bet the Browns based on the quarterbacks playing. That kind of manifested. I ended up playing them ATS, but I played them more on the money line, and that's a brutal way for a money line not to get home. I mean, first drive of the game, they fumbled at the two. It did result in a safety two plays later. They did get 2 points out of it, but they didn't get seven. So that was the first thing. And then Cade York with not one, but two shots at putting the Browns ahead within 2 minutes. I mean, inside the 2 minute warning. And the first one, you know, was a slice, golf term. And then the next one was a hook. And it just, the Browns end up holding on for the tie. This is now three preseasons, by the way, where there are no overtimes in preseason. The NFL finally got smart and like, we don't care. You guys can go for two. You can go for the tie. We're not going to play an extra frame. So that got legislated out of preseason. So anyway, the biggest football takeaway from that yesterday, and I know you can't really read into preseason games. That is obviously typically a fool's errand. But for certain quarterbacks, I think things are football universal. And boy, oh boy, I don't know that the Eagles want Marcus Mariota to be their backup, because he, Kelly, looks awful.
Yeah. Yep.
He looks terrible. And Tanner McKee from Stanford really is outplaying him. This is 2 weeks running now. But, I mean, Mariota was missing wide-open receivers. He ended up 9 of 17 for 86 yards, no touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked three times for a quarterback rating of 42.8. Remember, that scored out of 158.3. I mean, it's just keep Jalen Hurts upright if that's your dude who's going to be the backup quarterback. Remember, Marcus Mariota, who casually left the Atlanta Falcons after he was demoted last year late for Desmond Ridder. He was like, yeah, I'm cool, I'm bouncing. Wasn't with the team the rest of the way, that last month or so of the season.
It's hard to imagine. What's kind of sad about that, too, is, I mean, I don't know how sad it is, but it's hard to imagine him getting another real chance after, if this flames out.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You're in backup purgatory probably forever, if even that. I mean, you're fighting for a backup job right now against a rookie. You can't even win out.
He also has a little bit, you know how we talked about, like, Jay Cutler face or Eli Manning face? Jay Cutler face being the biggest one.
That is such a good point.
There's a little bit of that creeping in with Mariota.
I think you could pick up on that when you watch the Netflix doc.
Oh, true.
Like, when you're going to like, yeah. Does this guy? I can't tell if this guy really cares that much or not. Like, what's going on?
It's just the thought occurs to me. That's all. Thought exercise before we go to break here. This is from Cleve TA. Great Twitter follow on the old X machine, now we have to call it. But Cleve, who's been on the Megapod, by the way, the first Megapod is coming up the Thursday before week one of the NFL season. Todd Wishnev, Jeff Parles, and I with rotating guests all year long. Cleve TA was kind enough to come on the show last year, but he put this out a couple days ago. He goes, there's been at least one team to make the NFL playoffs with a preseason win total of below 500 in each year since 2000. 19 of those 23 years, at least two made it with a preseason win total of less than 500. In other words, in 16-game seasons, less than 8. In 17-game seasons, less than 8.5. Last year, three teams made it: Jacksonville, the Giants, and the Seahawks. Now, the teams currently expected to finish with a season win total that would have them less than 500 win percentage: Arizona, Carolina, Chicago, Green Bay, Houston, Indianapolis, the Rams, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Giants, the Bucks, the Titans, and Washington. Kelly, let's do this one by one. Forget about the three last year, but 19 of the last 23 years have had at least two make it. Let me do this one by one. You shout out if you think they're making it or not. Arizona.
No.
No, I agree. Carolina.
Maybe.
No. I say no. Chicago.
No.
No, I'm with you. I don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Green Bay.
Maybe.
Yes. I'll give them okay. Green Bay. Houston.
No.
No. Indianapolis.
No.
No. Rams.
No.
No. I'm trying to get as close to your no as possible. Raiders.
No.
No. We're children. Patriots.
No.
No, I don't think so either. Giants.
Yes.
Oh, I say no. Tampa Bay.
No.
No. Tennessee.
No.
I don't think so either. And then Washington.
Probably.
Maybe. Oh, you got probably.
I'm going probably.
Yes. So based on that, we think it is likely that two do get in. We agree. Well, we didn't agree on Green Bay. Did we agree on Green Bay?
It is sort yeah. of.
Okay. I got Green Bay and maybe Washington. And you have?
I would say Green Bay and maybe Carolina.
It's an interesting thought exercise from Cleve TA. Because all this talk before the preseason, like we said, there are so many things none of us know.
Totally.
19 of the last 23 years with pre-flop season win total below 500. Coming back with Paul Carr next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide is due out later this month, and it'll help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide or take advantage of our football season special. Get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl. For only $199, sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Watched every play of that tie yesterday. I know, don't judge me. Between Cleveland and Philly, the standout star of that game, we talked about how bad Mariota was, but this kid, Austin Watkins, as wide receiver for the Browns, did whatever he wanted to do at a UAB, had a cup of coffee with the Niners and the Bucks. I don't know if he's going to end up on the Browns roster, but he's going to end up on somebody's. He was outstanding yesterday. 7 catches, 139 yards, and a touchdown. And the other sort of under-the-radar sports event last night that was pretty huge was the Aces and the Liberty in the WNBA. Those two teams appear to be on a collision course for the WNBA Finals, though our buddy Lou Finicaro tells us he's betting on the Mystics, getting all their players back, their key players back, including Deladon back. But the Aces, who had gotten stomped by the Liberty the last two games, they come back and put it on the Liberty. 88-75 was the final. They covered the 7-point spread. Though I will say this, there was a moment in the second half early where once again you were like, uh-oh, here we go again. Here come the Liberty. But the Aces do get it done. Betting them after a loss this season has been a pretty flawless strategy so far this season.
Which means it's covered every single time.
Every single time.
I've bet it three times.
They only have a handful of losses.
Right.
But that was, by the way, Sabrina Ionescu looking for her shoes. Someone stole her shoes, she says, and her insoles. She says, just bring my insoles back, please. So if you're listening and you stole Sabrina's insoles, please give it back to her. It's my plea to you.
I missed the insole part of that.
She don't care about the shoes as much as she cares about the insoles.
Apparently, well, those must be like real high-tech special or something like
custom
that.
Custom made, for sure. Before we get to your NBA thoughts, let's go back to that Cleve TA thing, because you felt unsatisfied by your answers. Is that a good assessment?
Yeah, well, we had to rush through, and we had to pick only two to make the playoffs, right?
Well, that's the exercise.
Right, yeah. We were kind of rushing through them, like, which ones do we think?
You've decided what your two teams are.
My two teams from that list would be Carolina and Green Bay.
Let's recap this for folks. So Cleve TA, great follow on Twitter, great NFL guy, has done very well in contests through the years as well.
Oh, and he's got his guide out now, too. Free guide.
Does he really?
Access.
Oh, wow.
It's incredible. I read through about three quarters of it while I was on vacation. Really good stuff.
Is that right? I did not know that.
It is awesome.
So he put out this tweet. There's been at least one team to make the NFL playoffs with a preseason win total of below 500. So in other words, a team that in a 16-game schedule had 7.5 or less wins in a pre-flop season win total, and a 17-game schedule, less than 8.5, so 8 or less. In each year since 2000, one team of that subset has made it. 19 of the last 23 years, at least two of those teams have made it with those pre-flop season win totals. Last year, by the way, three teams made it: Jacksonville, the Giants, and Seattle. So we just decided his thought exercise here is teams currently expected to finish below 500, and there is a group of 13 of them out of the 32 NFL teams. Can we come up with two? If the 19 of 23 year trend is going to continue, and it's going to be 20 of 24, what are the two teams? And I came up with, yes, I think it's Green Bay, and I went Washington, Homer. What did you end up?
I'm going Carolina and Green Bay.
Carolina
and Green Bay.
So that means you think Carolina is probably winning the NFC South? Is that
probably.
What
probably. I think they have a good chance.
Wow.
I think they have a good chance, yes. I think if we're going, you know, this exercise, right? I mean, immediately cross off every AFC team for me.
Yeah.
What are the two you can make the best argument for? Yeah. Tennessee, New England. Like, that's it. Those are the two you could make the best argument for. I'm extremely down on both of those teams this year. I know others feel differently about New England. I'm just not as high on them. So I got to look NFC when I'm looking here, which is much more wide open. We know that. I think the Giants and Washington, I think they're both solid choices here. I think they could have a chance, but I'm going to go Carolina. I'm going to go Green Bay.
Okay, if I came to you and I said, well, it wasn't the 19 of 23. It was the 23 of 23 that one made it. Who's the one?
Who's the one?
Don't say Carolina. Don't do it.
Green Bay.
Okay. Yeah, that's mine too. Green Bay. Okay. NBA. So Nick Whalen from RotoWire was on with us earlier this week, and we had a chance to sort of give a first stab at NBA season win totals, which are available at DraftKings. They range from the Denver Nuggets 54.5 all the way down to the Washington Wizards, and they're 24.5. And Kelly is a big NBA guy. Kelly is the co-host of Hardwood Handicappers, which he does with JVT, available where all podcasts are distributed. You came up with eight that you actually like. Can we start at the bottom with the Wizards? You like that one?
No, these are ones that I like. These are just, so we had the NBA schedule release yesterday. These are some of the biggest moving numbers.
Oh, the biggest movers. I thought these were ones you like.
I've got a few I like in that, I bet.
Okay.
But I wanted to point out the NBA schedule release is not a big thing, obviously, for betting markets. Win totals have been up for a little bit. You basically know everybody you're going to play already. It's an NBA regular season schedule. But I just wanted to dive in. I took the time last night, this morning, just wanted to dive in and see how much, if any, some of these had really moved. And, you know, there are a couple teams where they've moved a couple wins. Pacers and Raptors are those two teams.
Pacers two up, Raptors two down.
Yep, two up, two down. And then you've got a bunch that have moved like one game. So just wanted to point out some of the outliers that we're seeing kind of in the market right now. And it's Raptors bet heavily under and Pacers bet heavily over. I understand both of those. One of those I have bet.
Which did you bet?
Raptors. Raptors I did bet under. Bet them under 37.5. That moved off 38.5 real quick when these opened up. I made all my bets pretty much when they opened. We talked about them a bit. Maybe you weren't here one day when we talked about some of the win total bets. I bet them under. I bet the Bulls under. And I bet the Cleveland Cavaliers over 50.5. So those are my favorite ones right now. That are out there. You can get 49.5, 50.5 on the Cavs. I think right now at DraftKings it is 49.5 juiced really heavily over on the Cavs. So if you want to mess around with the juice, you can.
Wait, let's talk about that for a little bit. Yeah. So if you're that bullish on Cleveland, I think JVT is as well. Mm-hmm. So again, that's a Celtics, Bucks, Sixers top heavy Eastern Conference. But if you're going over 50.5, it sounds like you think that that top three could be pierced, if you will.
Yeah, I think that all three of those teams have some slight issues coming into this season. I don't think they look like the three teams that we thought they were heading into last season by any means. I think the Bucks have some flaws that we saw during last season flare up. The Celtics, I think everybody's really interested to see how this Porzingis thing is going to work out, and losing Marcus Smart and Grant Williams, and how all that's going to work out. I think people are overreacting to the depth issues. I actually think Kristaps Porzingis could add. I think he could make them more dangerous once the playoffs comes around. But there are going to be depth issues. I think regular season it might not be as successful for them. And then we'll get to it probably later in the show. But we got all kinds of James Harden issues in Philadelphia, and I don't really know. Like, we could see that one. I think we could see that one snowball quickly, Gil. Like, that turns into a James Harden issue. That might turn into a Joel Embiid issue with the team.
Yep.
And that is the last thing Philadelphia can have on their hands, because there are teams out there, cough, cough, Knicks, that are just waiting for someone for the Sixers to drop the ball with Joel Embiid.
Yeah, the drama of James Harden, man. Year after year, not
it's
even
crazy.
Year after year, but like biannual.
It's
kind
crazy.
Of thing.
And like real quick, going back to the Cavs, like the Cavs are a team. We're talking about this as a win total under the amount of wins that they got to last year, and this team got better in the offseason. You went out and added Max Strus. This is a team that is still very young, that is growing with great players both down low, with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, and you've got an all-time great, I mean, not all-time, you have a great score in the NBA right now in Donovan Mitchell. There's not really much that I see this team moving backwards from. As long as they can stay relatively healthy, you know, throughout the season, I think this is a very realistic number they can go over.
How do you explain their flame out in the playoffs against the Knicks? Just that they weren't gelled enough, they hadn't played together long enough? Not to counter that.
That's good to say. I can't, as a guy who lost a lot of money on that series, yeah. I guess I can't fully explain it.
Because they lost in five. They got
rolled. It was bad. It was bad, and it was one of those kind of unexplainable things. I mean, they were, from my standpoint, yes, I think there's a lot of what you just said that probably went into that. Still some youth. They didn't completely gel together. And, you know, coaching, I think in a series like that, coaching comes into play, and they just weren't ready to go.
Steve Fezzik has texted in, Monday Night Football preseason, wrong team favored. Baltimore is favored. He says Baltimore is not playing the starters. Washington is. Baltimore 24-0. Last 24, they will be 24-1.
Whoa!
On Tuesday, he says Washington should be favored.
Fezzik from the top rope!
Fezzik from the top rope. Sure. I'll be in D.C. Should I go to that? My mom will get scared if she's alone. Maybe I can't. We'll come back. John Legace on baseball. His plays next.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin back from his, I was going to say vacation. It wasn't a vacation. Back from his ailments.
Vacation.
Yeah, it was vacation before that. He's back in the saddle. We appreciate him being here. Coming up later this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. We will talk to Jason about all things baseball and beyond. But we love welcoming this gentleman onto the show. He is typically with us weekly during college football season, and everybody already clamoring for his long-awaited college football season win totals segment, which is coming up not today, but later this month. But he joins us now to talk other things sports betting. How you doing, Bob?
Good. Speaking of win totals, I just finished my 200 hours of college football analysis to dial in my ratings. I
spent
those over like 20 days. Now just going over all the teams and ran the simulation and seeing which teams I'm going to consider for win totals. Usually I'll run the simulation and I'll look for the ones that are off. I'm like, okay, well, why am I different from the market? And I'll kind of dig back into the notes that I had on the team. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I went a little too far with this projection, so maybe I'll dial that back toward the market a little bit. You know, and then that's sort of adjust the ones that I'm off on just to see if there's a reason that I'm off, or if maybe I was too enthusiastic or too negative on a team in a certain aspect of their game, and then I'll kind of, you know, usually I'll tend toward the market a little bit. And if I still think I still have value, then those are the ones I end up releasing for win totals. And as you know, those have been really good over the years.
Really, really good over the years. I know you also do something else, which I know in retrospect frustrates you a little bit, but at the time that it's happening, you're okay with, which is sometimes you'll come up with, you know, over 20 of these that you feel are playable. And then there's a little voice in your head, correct me if I'm wrong, that says, boy, that's a lot of season win totals. Maybe I should dial it back and only give out these. And then you'll usually come at the end, you'll be like, oh, well, I went 10-0 or whatever it is. I'm just making up a number now. But I would have gone 19-3, right? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. I was 11-0 on the ones I released. I think the ones I gave out on your show were 6-0. I mean, obviously, all whatever segment I gave out, all won on your show. And I looked back, and I thought that was the year after the COVID year. So I was 21. I thought, well, maybe my ratings are off because there weren't that many non-conference games last year. So instead of releasing 23, which were the ones that qualified, I'll just release the top 11. Well, if I would have released 20-3, I would have been 20 wins and 3 losses. So I would have been 20-3 instead of 11-0. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with 11-0, but it was kind of like, oh, I could have released more of those. Last year, you know, I was just looking at last year, and I was 8-3 on the win totals last year. I was trying to see what I would have been had I released more, and I think I would have added 4-3 last year, so it wasn't quite as bad. I think the ones I passed on that qualified, I was 4-3 on, so it wasn't quite as bad as passing on 9-3. But but yeah, usually I should be playing more of these. But
this is kind of your thing also on a daily basis though, right? Because you, for those who are familiar with you, you have, you know, you rate your picks by stars, right? 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 star. You also have opinions, which are your way of saying it's a lean, I'm not playing it, but that sort of thing. And hasn't it been?
Well, I do play the strong opinions. I have leans, and I have strong opinions I consider like half a unit, you know, sort of thing. But those have been good over the years. Like you say, like, right. 54.3% in football over many, many years. In basketball, they're 54.4% in college basketball. They've been really good. So, yeah, I mean, people so bet them.
I guess my question then is, do you ever foresee yourself opening that up, or are you still going to always err on the side of caution and being conservative about it because you think, because you know how bettors think, once you open it up, it's going to be the year where they stink, right?
Right. You know, yeah, it's sort of like that. I'm conservative by nature, and I look for reasons not to bet a game rather than looking for reasons to bet a game, which a lot of people are like, oh, that's a good reason to bet a game. Well, you know, I look for reasons not to bet a game. And that sort of keeps me off things as, you know, I consider best bets, and then they go into the, you know, opinion range, which, like I said, still wins. Yeah, I had a friend that said I'm a better handicapper than I am a gambler, you know, because I tend to, you know, my, you know,
yeah,
he's
maybe
like,
that's
you need
true.
To trust your handicapping more. Like, trust it. Like, and I always kind of come back, like, I can't be, this is back in the day when I was, you know, when I was way ahead of the market, I'm like, I can't be that much better than the market. Well, yeah, actually I was, and I still am. And maybe I need to trust that more, but I always think like, well, the market's going to catch up. No, it hasn't so far. So maybe I should be betting more games, but I think I just kind of feeling, maybe I had too much respect for the market, and maybe I should have a little less respect for it and trust my numbers more, because I've been doing this 37 years and I've been winning, you know, not every single year, but, you know, for the most part, every, you know, almost every year. So maybe I should trust myself more, and and that's something I need to work on, because even college football, the leans I put on the free, I put free analysis on my website every Friday night and Saturday morning, and those things have been 58% the last 2 years, the leans.
That's at drbobsports.com. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Bob. Finish your thought.
Yeah, so it is a little frustrating, but I did go over my college football math model results in recent, you know, like the last 10 years. Like, okay, what should the threshold be for making something a bet? And so I'm planning on opening up a little bit more this year. I mean, last year I was 40-21 in college football best bets. I mean, that's phenomenal. That's, you know, second or maybe the third best win percentage ever had in a college football season. 40-21, 65% or 66% or whatever, but I could have been better on a unit basis had I just released more plays. So I think I'm going to try to, you know, not be as conservative this year and just try to, you know, fire a little bit more when my indicators say I should. So,
all right. Bob moves when Bob releases college football bets. It does move the market. Sometimes it'll move back, but he still to this day moves the market on that. So we're gonna you're gonna come on. Was it next week for season wins? Is that what we're planning on?
Yeah, we can do Thursday or Friday.
Okay,
yeah,
Thursday or Friday. Let's do that. So let me just ask you this then, from as a general game to game handicapping thing this year. Obviously, the biggest rule change, and this is huge, is that you know we've grown up to this day, not only grown up but our whole lives really. It's been the clock stops on first downs in college football. Well, that rule has changed. With the exception of the last 2 minutes of each half, the clock will now move on first downs. What are the adjustments that you have made with your model on this?
Yeah, you know, when I first started looking into this, I've been hearing, maybe 2 points. You know, I heard a few different people. I was like, well, maybe more than that. And I started kind of fooling around with, you know, how many first downs are there in a game, you know, within the 2 minutes of each half. And, God, how many of those would the guy run out of bounds? I don't know. I'm sort of guessing from my football knowledge, like, well, how many of those first downs is the guy running out of bounds? Like, what percentage of that is? You know, and how many times will this affect, you know, first downs where they don't run out of bounds? How many plays will that affect? And I thought, I kind of came up with my own thing, and I came up with 4.4 plays from scrimmage fewer. And I said, all right, I'm gonna stick with that. 4.4 plays from scrimmage fewer than last year. And then I read something from a guy from the rules committee, from the NCAA rules committee. He said that it would reduce the number of plays by 7 plays per game, according to Steve Shaw, secretary editor of the rules committee. Now, 7 plays per game, that could be extra points, could be punts. That's not like, so I said, well, maybe that's, you know, 6 plays from scrimmage. 5.5 to 6 plays out of every 7 plays is probably a play from scrimmage. That's higher than what I thought. And then I, you know, talking to Bill Connolly, and he, we talked a little bit about it, and he wrote something on his article on ESPN about it. He's the guy that has SP Plus. For those who don't know Bill Connolly, and he said, well, there are 38 first downs outside the last 2 minutes of each half, and a certain amount go out of bounds, and he came up with 5.3% of the game less.
Wow,
he's going to cut 3.2 minutes off of a 60-minute game. 5.3%, but 5.3%. Well, now we're talking like 7 plays from scrimmage, which is a lot lower. I'm like, man, I mean, so it could be anything. Like, I use my 4.4 plays less because that's what I came up with initially. And the average total of these week 0 and week 1 games is 52.6 points, which is lower than last year's 54.8 average scoring and 54.3 in regulation last year, you know, if you exclude overtime. So they went down to 52.6, the market did. Me using my 4.4 plays lower came up with 51.9 as my average total in the week 0, week 1 game. So I'm like, okay, I'm close to the market, I'm below it. But if you believe in like Bill Connolly and this guy from the rules committee who think it's going to be more like 6 plays a game, that's going to get you down to 50 points instead of the average total of 52.6. So we're going to find out real soon. But I wouldn't be playing many overs in the first week. I mean, I have a couple on my radar. I'm like, maybe I won't be doing that one.
If your instinct is to go over, that might be not be the proper instinct. What do you?
Yeah, maybe you play less on that game or something. But if you kind of like an under to begin with, well, then maybe you have extra reason to like the under because I thought I was being pretty conservative, and I'm 0.7 points lower on average than the average market total, and then there's reason to believe from 2 other sources that it could be even lower than that, down to 50. Points per game. So, yeah, I would certainly be leaning under on most games.
By the way, I don't say it enough, which is I love that you have the humility of for those who don't, haven't been with us with Dr. Bob for years, he has his math models, which he's tinkering with a lot through the years. And then he has his technical analysis, which we kind of know as trends, which he, doesn't use sacredly or anything, but it's part of his analysis. And some years, by the way, it really does matter. Those are more accurate than the model and vice versa. But I love that you are humble enough to say, well, this is not infallible. Let me talk to some other smart people as well, because that's always great input to have. So you just sort of checks and balances in your process.
Yeah, I'm not a handicapper that looks at other people's picks. Like, I don't care. You know, I respect the guys at Right Angle Sports. As I should, and anybody should, and they respect me. They're not going to not play something. I don't know. I assume they're going to do what they do. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have some impact, but I'm not going to change any play that I have based on what they did. I'm just I do what I do, and so I don't really look at whether the handicappers play, and it's not, that's not going to phase me.
Hey, Bob,
I do have enough confidence that I'm going to believe in my process, but yes, when it comes to stuff like that, I want experts.
Can you hang out a couple more minutes? Because I want to follow up with how long you think the market would adjust to something like this. It's Bob Stoll on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.